Hello, Riverhill. It's George Mansory. Ryan Pig is next to me. We got Mr. Gonza coming on later. Gonna give his thoughts about the NFL season, school as a whole, just how things are going in his world. And this is the Tackle Podcast, you know? We got a new name this year, new guest this year, new partner this year. It's gonna be an interesting year. So we have a special guest here. Mr. Gonslin, head lacrosse coach, English teacher at River Hill. Just going to ask him a few questions, ask him his thoughts on things. So, like, the first question is, what's your favorite football team?
The Baltimore Ravens.
Okay. You know? All right. How do you think they'll do this year?
I think if the Ravens can get back to running the football with the zone reads and just being what they are and keeping the ball in their best players' hands, which we all know who that is, they should do well. I think Sunday night was a really good blueprint of what they just need to get back to doing. The last thing I'd say about the Ravens is, you know, the biggest thing will be, can their front four generate some pass rush just to give their secondary some time, you know, since they're depleted by losing, you know, Marcus Peters.
Yeah, the rookie Odafe Owe did a really good job with that Sunday against the Chiefs.
He's looking like the next Terrell Suggs, honestly.
Well, why do you say that?
Because just of his speed and, like, his number 99.
His size, too.
And his length. Like, he's a massive dude.
Yeah, he is a massive dude. I think one thing he does really well, and one thing Suggs did really well, was setting the edge. And another thing Terrell Suggs did exceptionally well was reading screens. You know, think about, like, when you would watch him play. Like, anytime there was a screen, he was always in the middle of a play or how many picks he would get because of reading screens. So, Owe has the potential to be an outstanding player. So, we'll see what happens. I hope he becomes that guy. So.
Yeah. All right, one other question we have is, how do you think that the lacrosse team will do this year?
I think our lacrosse team has the potential to have a really good year. Last year was, being post-COVID was a transitional year, and a lot of guys were really learning how to play at the varsity level. We have, I want to say, like 14 seniors coming back. We have everybody on defense coming back, minus our goalie from last year. We do lose our top scorer from last year, but we have a lot of guys who work hard, and I think we'll be as good as the work we put in our off season. And it will be beneficial this year that we can have an official off season to get ready, because we definitely have some gaps to fill for other teams in the area who predominantly their players play a lot of club lacrosse and our guys don't. So we got to close that gap somehow, and I think our off season will be the key to how competitive we'll be with the better teams in the county.
Okay. Next question is, what do you think makes a great lacrosse player, like in your eyes?
That's a great question. I think what makes a good lacrosse player a great player, just in any sport, is just somebody who has, like, a want to, you know. And in lacrosse, there's a lot of times where you got a battle fatigue, and you just got to want to run harder or beat a guy to a spot or run through a check more than the other person. It's a lot like football that way. I think a lot of it's mental. So I would say, like, you know, a player's mentality really is what makes them, you know, a great player. We've had plenty of players in my 20 some odd years here who have good stick skills, but the great ones have been the ones who just mentally were tough. And that took their game to the next level. So I don't know. That's a really good question. You got me thinking about that, dude. George, I'm like, that's an outstanding question.
Do you want to tell our listeners about your career as a lacrosse player?
I don't know. There's not really much to tell, I guess. Let's see. I started playing lacrosse. I was a football player. I played football, you know, through middle school, played, like, travel football. And then I went to Wild Lake High School. And Wild Lake High School, we had a great tradition. We won a state championship when I was a senior there, and I'd always wanted to play football growing up, I guess. And my freshman year, one of the lacrosse coaches tried to get me to play. I was like, I'm not going to play lacrosse. Like, I'm not going to have people hit me with a stick, you know, and there's not any black people who play lacrosse. So, but my defensive coordinator from football became lacrosse coach, and he got myself and three other guys from the football team to play. And then my sophomore year, I played varsity, and I didn't know what the hell I was doing, but it was just, I was like, huh, it was something to do. But then that's my sophomore year, the summer before my sophomore year, I ended up making an all-star team in the summer league. And that's when I realized, and I met some people around the county who were better players, and I just started practicing. And then my senior year came, and then I had like shoe boxes full of letters, like, and they were from smaller schools like Elon and like, you know, like a lot of D3 schools like Salisbury. But then when lacrosse came around, because I went to some camps and I got seen by coaches, I had offers from places like Georgetown and Bucknell. And so it was kind of clear what I wanted to do. And my mom kind of made it clear. She was like, well, this is what you're going to do, because some of these people come pay for school. So then I played lacrosse. I went to Radford University. I got a partial scholarship there, and the money kind of worked out. We were D1, but it really wasn't as competitive as I liked. So I decided to transfer to UMBC, and I played at UMBC. And then afterwards, I played professionally for a team called the Pittsburgh Crossfire, which is now the Colorado Mammoth. I played professional indoor lacrosse, and then I played club lacrosse for a number of years. I mean, I haven't touched a stick in a long time because I like to golf now. I don't want to do anything that would hurt my chances of being out on the golf course. So that's a little bit about me. And then I've been coaching lacrosse here, since 2001. Yeah, so it's been, 22 years. Yeah, it's been a minute. So
yeah. So me and George, we both had you as a student, obviously, and we wanted to know how things have been going this year, finally having students back in school.
You know, that's a great question. It's good to see everybody back. It really was. Just going out and looking at the pep rally and seeing you guys just enjoying yourselves and just being high school students. I see the students are more engaged. I feel like there's a positive vibe. You know, normally like the beginning of the year, there's like a positive vibe because it's the beginning of the year and everybody's excited to be back. But I think everybody has an appreciation maybe for just being in person that we didn't have. And I know for me, I thrive off of making relationships with students. So that was really hard for me last year, was trying to make connections with you guys through a computer screen. So it's really nice to get back and just make those interpersonal connections. And I'm looking forward to a fantastic year.
So my next question is, what do you think lacrosse players who are like coming up or trying to be great or like trying to try out for the lacrosse team, what do you think they can do to like improve their game, basically?
I think it boils down to anything in life. You just need to control what you control, right? And to play lacrosse, you need a certain skill set. Just like for football, you need a certain skill set, or basketball. And the analogy I like to give our lacrosse players is, you know, you can't come out to be a lacrosse player if you can't catch and throw or scoop a ground ball. Just like you couldn't go out to play basketball if you can't dribble or have the basic fundamentals of shooting, right? And that's the competition we're playing against. So the thing, to answer your question, George, like the biggest thing a player can do is practice their skills, right? Which is really an easy thing to do because it just involves really just getting out on a wall. It doesn't involve anybody else. It's something that they can make a choice to do. And you could really spend as much time out there to improve as you want. In lacrosse, the good thing about lacrosse, unlike football, is like, a player's stick work is the great equalizer. Like when I was in high school, like I went, well, why was I getting offers from D3 schools? Because I was 5'8", maybe 75, soaking wet, who, you know, played middle linebacker. Well, there wasn't a big market for that, but there was a market for somebody who could run fast and had good stick work, and that gave me an opportunity to play Division I lacrosse. So those are variables that the players can control, and to me, that there's nothing more that a player can do than working on their stick work.
So what would you tell freshmen who are sophomores coming into the building for the first time? Like, what advice would you give them for taking your class? Like, what would you tell them or like offer them to help them out if they're struggling?
I would just try to, like, so these are kids coming into to prepare for my class?
Or just, like, coming into the building.
Coming into the building. So somebody new to the building, you're coming to take my class for the first time. Be open-minded. Have a mindset that you can do anything that you can accomplish. I have a lot of students who will always tell me they can't, right? And so the thing about whether you say you can or can't, you're always going to be right if you say those statements, right? Those words are powerful. So just to believe in themselves, and if they're willing to work hard, I'm willing to work with them, you know. And most importantly, when you come to my class, you know, we try to have fun, as you guys know. Like, we try to have fun, we keep it light, but it's just time to work, and school can be fun, and that's why I want the students to understand when they come to my room as well.
Okay, I got Just last question.
All right, better not be a hard one, George. I mean, you're just grilling me, George.
Baby. What would you? What like advice would you give freshmen coming in that are gonna try out for lacrosse? Like, how do you get them to buy into like the program, the system? Like, what do you just tell them like their first day, like, to get them to really buy into the process?
One is to make it, they have to understand it's going to be fun. They also have to understand that it's a choice to come out and play lacrosse. And, you know, and making those choices involves making some sacrifices, like participating in our off-season conditioning when it's cold and we're going to be outside, you know, on the track, and we're going to be out in cold, wet weather sometimes. And just getting them to understand that, like, putting in that work is going to pay dividends. You know, I think that's the biggest thing, is, like, just getting – everybody to understand, like, it's not about, like, oh, I want to make the team, or I want to get the greatest. Like, well, how are you going to get there? Like, what's the process to getting there, and to getting the players to understand, just buying into the process and seeing small wins. Like, hey, like, last week you felt really badly when you came out here and you're running. This week you don't feel as comfortable, but you don't feel like you felt last week. And now here we are 2 weeks later. Look, you're starting to feel a little stronger with your cardiovascular strength. And now look at the time you made this time. So pointing out those small wins and giving them confidence, I think what helps, you know, see them buy in and see themselves improving. And then same thing with working on the wall and working on their stick work and seeing, like, they're making strides and feeling more comfortable with a stick in their hand. So when they go out there March 1st, they know they have the confidence because they put the work in, versus somebody, you know, who hasn't put the work in, and then, like, you're hoping something happens instead of expecting it. It's kind of like, you know, studying for a test. Like, we've all been there. I've been there, right? You, oh, damn, is it B? Is it C? Oh. And then you get the test back, like, oh, my God, it did well. Like, you know, it's just complete luck, you know, versus, you know, hey, I know I did really well on that test because I studied. I know the material. Yeah, I knew I banged that thing out. You didn't know the grade, but, you know, like, your parents ask you, like, yeah, I know I did well. And then you get the grade back. You're like, yeah, that's about what I thought.
Yeah, I felt like that in those reading quizzes you would give us.
Oh, the reading quizzes. Yes. So I got to check something. I got to hold you accountable to some way.
All right. Well, you got any more questions, George? Thank you for joining us.
No. Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. What's the name of the show? I don't even know what show I'm on right now.
The Tackle Podcast.
The Tackle Podcast. Well, I would be happy to ever, when you want me to come back. You know, I will put a plug in. You know, Mr. Trumbull would love to come on here. You know, he mentioned, you know, he would love to come on the Tackle Podcast. So, Mr. Trumbull, I'm making a plug for you, buddy.
All right.
All right. Well, fellas, good luck in your game this evening, too.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Yep.